Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm sitting here with Time Magazine this week. The Angelina Effect, cover of the beautiful Angelina Jolie. I think in the last 30 years, this is one of, as it relates to medical history, one of the more interesting and important moments. And I want to make commentary on it today for you to give you the other side, because I think only half the picture was given to you on Time Magazine this week. We call it the Angelina Effect. And it means at some point, medical doctors are going to begin to tell you that you're genetically predisposed to a certain disease, including cancer, and that you're going to have to think a little bit more seriously about cutting out that body part. Now, I'm going to be very careful today not to be critical, because personally, I certainly do not disagree. So I'm going to make a counterintuitive statement. I don't disagree with Angelina Jolie's decision, and that is not my right, really, anyway, to disagree. But what I find concerning, and what I'm going to argue today, or point out today, I should say, because there's no real need for argument, but to point out is that there's another perspective that you're not getting from Time Magazine. And the press so quick to capitalize on this. If you get to my website, you'll see the front picture, the cover page of Time Magazine. You'll also see the centerfold showing Angelina Jolie in a very, I would say, presidential pose. The point being that she made a very brave decision, and that is not argued here, but she made a very brave decision that required a great deal of integrity, and that people should start thinking more seriously about making choices like hers. That is the undeniable implication of having her on the front page of Time Magazine, just as the centerfolds, I think, will tell us. But there's another perception here. We're going to get to that. Doctors told her that she had the BRCA mutation, and that was giving her a 95% chance. If you didn't follow this, you should. This is truly going to have great implications. The doctors told her she had the BRCA mutation. So that's a gene that has a nucleotide sequence that's not like everybody else's. It's what we call a mutation. And if you can get to the website, straighttalk.cc, just as I did a few weeks ago, we have pictures of the double helical structure of the DNA molecule, and we point out what we mean by a DNA sequence. The primary arrangement of nucleotides, adenine, cytosine, guanine, that primary arrangement of nucleotides is what we call the primary sequence. If in a mutation that sequence is different, and that difference in the sequence may mean that you're going to be told, specific to the meaning of that misappropriation of nucleotide, you're going to be told perhaps that you have a very high possibility of getting a particular type of disease, in this case, breast cancer. Now, to top that, to back that up, of course, Angelina's mom also, she had cancer, Angelina didn't, but her mom had it, and her mom died of it. The point is that when you're told that your sequence is deleterious or mutant and that you have a 95% chance of getting it, in addition to what she was told that she had a 50% chance with this mutation of getting ovarian cancer. And when you have a mother that you love that died of cancer and you're being told you have a 95% chance of getting it again, what would you do? So I want to be real clear as we unfold this hour's show today that there's no criticism here. In fact, my mother died of breast cancer metastasized to bone. I wish she had had that kind of counsel. And knowing my mother, I would have probably advised her to do the mastectomy herself, because I could tell you my mother would never have taken any other steps outside the conventional medical model. And even then, when you're being told that you have a 95% chance of getting something, how much holistic medicine is really going to influence that? So let's be clear about one thing, all right? This is not a statement about a brave woman's choice, but there are implications here. And those implications run deep, and this nation will never be the same. They were right to put her on the cover of Time magazine, because she is setting a trend. She is part of a consortium of people who view genetic testing as having real physical implications into everyday life. So we're going to take off from this point. There is another side to this, and you weren't given that side in Time magazine. You're not given that side often enough. And that other side is just as much a part of science as pointing out to somebody that they have the BRCA mutation. This isn't the first time this has happened. In the 1980s, the early 80s, I had the horror and I guess the pleasure, in a sense, of watching another illness, another disease, strike our nation. It was called AIDS. And it was the early 1980s, and I watched this unfold. I saw the medical, the social, and the political machine start to turn America to panic. Many of you are old enough to remember very clearly the early 80s. Reagan was in office. He was our president. And on the cover of Time magazine, if it wasn't Ronald Reagan, it was about HIV, AIDS, the epidemic, and what was going to happen. I saved, in fact, all of those articles, even back then. I've had them for 30 years, turning yellow and gold and collecting dust. I've saved them because this was medical history. It was the first time for me to actually see medical history unfold. We all took those warnings very, very, very seriously. I remember fist fights in gyms, because when you worked out in a gym or a health spa, some of your sweat would be left on one of the exercise machines. And we were very justifiably so uptight about the possibility that you could get HIV and therefore AIDS from somebody else's sweat. It wasn't long before the cover of Time magazine, and I have that article. It wasn't long before the cover of Time magazine basically stated that scientists Gallo, Hazeltine, Matilda Krim had isolated the HIV virus from none other than teardrops from your darling loved ones. And we found that evil, demonic HIV virus lurking in something as innocent as teardrops. I mean, we had this nation in a state of panic. Think back. The topper for me, already fairly well schooled in science from college, the topper for me was a guy named Dr. William Hazeltine. He returned from Munich, Germany, with really bad news. I have that article also. Dr. William Hazeltine returned from Munich, Germany, stating that our troops, our GIs, are testing positive for HIV by the dozens at the venereal clinics in Munich, Germany, and that they're picking up this evil virus from prostitutes coming up from Africa trying to make a living in Munich, Germany. And that these GIs, our troops, our boys, will be returning home to the wheat fields of Kansas to spread this horrid disease to sweet, young, innocent virgins and farm girls of Kansas and various other states. That's straight out of the newspapers. There was this whole sequence that occurred that all pointed to the epidemic, the panic, the plague, and that we had to do something about it. And that if we didn't give medical research billions upon billions of dollars, AIDS states like it did in Uganda and the rest of the AIDS belt. Even still, The United States Congress did not listen. Even still, our president, Ronald Reagan, the ultra-conservative, did not budge. AIDS at that time was a gay disease, and so be it to the gays. Congress wasn't even looking at it. And then that fateful day occurred. Remember this day when Rock Hudson got AIDS, when the nation gasped at one of our movie stars, the people we follow, the people we emulate, the people that Americans are known to be in association with, especially in Los Angeles, especially in Southern California. Rock Hudson gets AIDS, and the nation's aghast. We didn't even know Rock Hudson was gay. How could this happen to one of our American heroes, our American film idol? Shortly thereafter, and I followed this chronologically, one step led to the next, led to the next, led to the next. And that fateful moment, we attach a star to the disease. If you can attach a star to a disease, you're going to do what requires the support and the sponsorship of the National Institute of Health, and that's how you get your grant money. Congress wouldn't appropriate a dime for AIDS until Rock Hudson got AIDS. And the Hollywood community, patroned by Elizabeth Taylor, who helped put Ronald Reagan in office back in the 1960s as governor of California, persuaded Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan persuaded Congress, etc., to appropriate the first great appropriation. Check the history books. $220 million for AIDS research. That number rolled into billions over the next decade. Absolute billions. Now, nothing's wrong with that. Don't misunderstand. Scientists, medical researchers need money. They need sponsorship. They need patrons. They need platforms. They need fundraisers. Nothing gets done. There is no research for anything unless somebody pays. Except there was one big problem. The supposition, the premise, the statement, the counsel we were given in the early 80s regarding AIDS is that it was going to spread like wildfire to the wheat fields of Kansas, and it was going to become an epidemic. That many of us by now would have perished. Many heterosexual men, many heterosexual women would have perished to this epidemic like it occurred in Uganda, like it occurred in Africa. This was the song everyone was singing back then. This cannot be denied. This is in the literature. This was on the news. This was recorded. This was observed. This was repeated relentlessly. Go over there across the Atlantic and look at Africa. Look at Uganda. Look at Zaire. Look at these countries in the AIDS belt and know that America is close behind. This is what we were told, and it was on that premise that all this grant money was railroaded in on the back of Rock Hudson and Africa. And it would have been okay, except one thing never occurred. AIDS never became an epidemic. Yes, it's tragic for one person to have died from it. Yes, whether you're straight or gay, it doesn't matter. It's a horrible disease. But you have to understand something here, because it's going to have very important implications for tomorrow. AIDS never spread. It didn't become close to an epidemic. It wasn't smallpox. It wasn't the bubonic plague. It wasn't the Spanish flu. It wasn't close to any of those. And the point is, and I have the articles, at the time, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of medical doctors, virologists, epidemiologists, public health officials, microbiologists, scientists, journalists, lay people, and they were all shouting at that time, the early 80s, that we did not even understand transmission. That Gallo and Montaigne out of France at the Pasteur Institute didn't even understand the dynamics of transmission, and that the HIV virus was very difficult to transmit.